hello there and happy Monday to you. Welcome to your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and this is going to be just a fabulous show because I was asking folks before we started this episode of Take Two what they thought about this question. And boy, oh boy, did people have a lot of answers. So that means that you, the Take Two family, will definitely respond on this glorious Monday. Okay, here's the question. I'm going to dive right in because Matt's at the phones ready to answer your call. Here's the question for today that we're going to discuss. If you could ask Jesus one question, just one question, what would it be? If you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? Now, you don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you're listening to us, we believe that you are part of the Take Two family. So you're welcome to call in. We love international callers as well. We got a lot of folks listening in the UK. We love that. So please call in. And here's the number. 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 3986. And you want to answer this question. If you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? If you don't have time to call in today, because we know it's busy, you're off and running for the week and things you have to do, you could always text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and what you would ask Jesus, the one question. Message and data rates may apply. You can always send us an email, take2@EWTN.com, and we receive and read all the emails. We have read all of the emails, guys. I know you keep sending in additional emails saying, did you get my email? Did you add my people that I wanted to pray for in the book? Yes, 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 and yes. Okay, so be assured of our prayers and be assured that we have read the emails. It's so hard at this point to respond because we're going into the holidays and it's building up, the mailbag's building up. So if it's super urgent, we will get back to you, or I'll actually call you if you leave a phone number. Okay, so the question today is, if you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? I'm going to just tell you right up front. This is what I would this is what I would ask him. I've been chuckling all morning about this. I would just say, why did he make it so hard on women? I think it's really hard to be a woman. That's what I would ask Jesus. And I'm kind of serious about it. But what would you ask Jesus? Here is the number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Jerry will be joining us shortly. Remember, he's in seminary. So after he's done with the things that he has to do at seminary, then he rushes over and joins Take Two. And we're so excited about that. So we feel like we're in the seminary with him. Okay. So, Tim, my producer for the spirit world, Tim, I asked Tim the question this morning, if you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? And he said, why? I just started laughing at that. That was hilarious. But seriously, though, have you ever thought about this? I mean, you know, now in prayer, we're asking Jesus all the time, right? We're asking him for all sorts of things. And we ask questions in prayer. But if he was actually right in front of you today, sitting right there in front of you, what would you ask him? What question? I think it's a fascinating topic. And I think it's something we can learn on how close we feel to Jesus, the relationship we have with Jesus. Oh, there goes the phones. That's the way to do it. You're lighting up the lines here on Monday. That's great. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? That's what you want to answer. You don't have to be Catholic. I said that already, but I'll say it again in case you just tuned in and you're thinking, is this a live call-in show? Yes, yes, it is. So Matt's waiting on the phones to answer your call. We've got Michael at the controls doing a very fine job. He is a fabulous producer. And Rich is on social media. I'm waving to all you guys. Don't forget to like us on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, and also find me on my personal page, Debbie Giorgiani. This weekend, I spoke at Restore Dignity. It's an amazing grief to grace retreat and ministry that really deals with trauma in a very comprehensive way, and it's fabulous ministry, and it's located here. I know there's other chapters around the country, but it's located, this one in particular is in the Diocese of Phoenix, and I had such an amazing time. And so I know that so many of you are tuned in for the first time to Take Two in Phoenix, and so thank you. I appreciate it. I loved being with you on Saturday, and it was just an amazing night, and I was I felt so honored and humbled to be the keynote speaker, and they told me it went really well, so that was great. So thank you so much. They're an amazing organization, RestoreDignity.org. Also, don't forget to visit us at Stand Tall. This is all my little housekeeping notes as I'm watching all the phone lines light up. StandTallToday.com. We're introducing all new communities and things that you can join if you want to help with the life coaching assistance program, or you want to be a part of a group. It's massive coaching going out there. And as I've shared before, Dr. David Anders is with us. Michelle Johnson, remember, she wrote the book on caregiving. Amazing. And there's going to be a caregiving community. So it's really incredible. So visit us there, standtalltoday.com. It's an outreach program and ministry that Jerry and I started. And we are just so grateful to be a part of it, because it is incredible what's happening in people's lives. They're living their best life because of all these things that they're letting go of, and they're making more room for God, and they're living a life of purpose and passion. It's really extraordinary. So there's so many cool things happening, as you can hear in my voice, especially after this weekend when I spoke at Restore Dignity. It was just so energizing. I love when there's ministry work out there that's really helping people live their most abundant, blessed life. So God bless everybody that steps up and does that kind of work. That's what we think we're doing here too, right? On Catholic Media, because we're trying our hardest to enhance your spiritual walk, your faith life. And that's a beautiful thing. So please call in. So your participation makes all the difference in the world. And here's the question. If you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? Please call in and answer that question. Matt will hear the answer first, and then he'll put you on hold. You'll listen live and can slip right into the discussion. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Two open phone lines. That's it. Please pick those lines up and share your answer with the world today. I'll be right back. I don't know what happened, but a couple of you dropped off. So call back because you were already, you were going to be on air with us, and then you just slipped away. So call back at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You're going to answer the question. If you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? And Matthew's going to go first. Matthew, hold on. Don't go anywhere. You're going to lead this wonderful episode here of Take Two. But I just want to share about, this is so exciting, YouTube channel. Okay, this is so exciting. EWTN is expanding our mission on YouTube with brand new channels made just for you. Visit our main YouTube channel to explore the new navigation bar and subscribe to the channels that speak to your heart. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, there's an EWTN channel for you. Make sure you like the EWTN radio channel, okay? That's us. So yeah, go to the new YouTube channel, EWTN, and search it, and then see what really does speak to your heart. I think that's a wonderful way to say it. Okay, we are having folks call back. That's great. So you're not chickening out. That's good. I almost did. I didn't want to say that, you know, that I was going to ask Jesus, why did he make it so hard on women? But then I really thought about it, and that's really what I would ask him. I think it's really difficult to be a woman. I really do. I think I look at how quickly, like, for instance, my husband gets ready in the morning. I mean, he can get ready in like 15 minutes. That doesn't work so well with women. So it's like, well, I don't get it. All right, here's the number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Okay, Matthew in Lafayette, Louisiana, on Christ Our King Radio. Matthew, you're first. You're going to answer the question.
Hi.
Hey, Matthew. Hi. Go right ahead.
I hope you guys are doing well in the studio today.
We are. Thank you.
My question that I would have for Jesus, and this is based on St. Francis of Assisi's meditation. He says, "Who am I, Lord God, and who are you?" And I would just ask, "Who am I?" Because it's a really foggy path that I walk, and it seems like it would be really nice to have that kind of answer.
That is very interesting, Matthew. But let me ask you a question. When you said, "Who am I?" what would you want him to say back to you? I'm just curious.
I honestly have no clue what I would seek in terms of an answer. Maybe just clarity. Maybe confidence in my place in life. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say ahead of time what I would hope for. And something like that, because it is, I'm sure it's not a short answer, whatever it is.
Well, Matthew, this is fascinating. This is so interesting. This is why I love shows like this, because we really are learning and growing each time we're talking about things like this. So Matthew, here's my question. What if Jesus were to say back to you, Matthew, I would suffer and die all over again for you. That's how much you are loved. And that's how much I love you. Would that be enough?
If that is his answer, that would warm my heart. You know, it's easy to get lost in the weeds of everyday life and to forget what kind of love is out there for me through Jesus. So that would be really special. It's something that would come maybe not as a surprise, but it would be very, very encouraging, certainly.
Mm-hmm. So, Matthew, when was the last time you meditated on a crucifix? Like if you were at church and you saw you see the crucifix somewhere on the altar, or you have a crucifix big enough that you can meditate on with the corpus on it. So with the body of Jesus on the cross, not just a straight cross. When was the last time you meditated on a crucifix?
It has been a while. I do pray the rosary, but my mind is not quiet enough to gain meditation style clarity from it. So it has been a while.
Okay. So I'm going to share something with you that was a game changer for me. When I went to confession many years ago, and this happened to me twice. When it happened again with a different priest in the confessional, I knew that this was from God. I just knew it. For my penance, they told me to meditate on the crucifix. And to just stare at the crucifix and just be in front of the crucifix and realize how much Jesus did for you, Matthew, and you alone. He did it for you alone, Matthew, and for all of us collectively, but he did it for you alone. And to really sit there, and I have to tell you, Matthew, I struggled the first time. I sat there and I was like, okay, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to feel, you know, and I'm getting kind of agitated. I'm not quite sure. And about 15 minutes later, Matthew, I started to feel different on the inside. It was so interesting. Then I did it again. And I've now continued doing it on a regular basis. But the first couple times I did it, it was the most incredible assurance and feeling of love in a way that I had never put it in my mind before. It was like it just pierced into my heart and my soul. And Matthew, I really would want that for you. I definitely want that for you, because I think in this world we can get so blurred and clouded on who we are and whose we are that we feel so distant, and we're not even sure if we're even sometimes remembered or loved by God. But it's so different than that. And that's the sad thing. The world has done that to us, but that's not how God sees us. I want that so much for you, Matthew, that you, I want you to feel the how much God loves you. And if you were the only one in the whole entire universe ever created, he would have suffered and died again just for you, Matthew. Not to mention, I mean, let me just add something. Your name means a gift of God. I hope you realize that. But Matthew, that's what I want for you. I put you in the prayer book, and I hope the Take Two family joins me so that you can experience that with clarity, and that it does pierce into your soul. What do you say?
Yes, ma'am. I'm gonna give that a serious try. Thank you. I know that for me, meditating on the sorrowful mysteries has already helped me a lot in trying to understand that. But I think meditating on the crucifix would introduce a quieter state that would probably really help me.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It did for me. I mean, and I was so grateful to these two priests who recommended it as a penance. But Matthew, this is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us. And we just love you. And thank you for being part of the Take Two family. Call us again, Matthew. We appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move to Ron in Los Angeles, California. Our dear friend, Ron, I'm waving to you on YouTube. Ron, I'm certain you were listening to Matthew. Hopefully he's still listening to the program. If there's anything you want to say to him, because you always have good words of wisdom, Ron.
I kind of drawn a blank for a moment here. I think the reality is, when you take the words of the gospel to heart, there's a lot of answers that are in there, but the specifics we'll probably never know. The only way we'll know for sure is if we say yes to God for every question or choice that's put to us. Every yes we say to God's will, to Jesus' will, will be closer to an answer to the question of what do you expect of me? Mm-hmm. Because you'll always guide us in that direction.
Sure.
But
absolutely.
The question I called in from, and today I'm actually on Sirius. I don't have the screen up right now.
Oh, okay.
But today the question I had that hit me is, of all the wounds, because of my sins, of all the wounds that you received, which wound am I responsible for? And while I've been on hold, I've been hearing the remarks of, I'm responsible for one of the thorns of the crown of thorns because of trust issues and a lack of, you know, walking the talk. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's a lot there that kind of puts me in that direction. And maybe it's because I'm having a little more scalp issues. And there are times when I'm reflecting on the wounds I have and what he went through, you know, from the lashes to the crucifix. And I'm just, you know, I know he loves me. I know he would do it all over again if it was just me. But it is so hard to be on this side of the veil and try to understand not only what it is we need to do, what he's asking of us specifically, but the bigger question to me has always been, when I say no, what is my no responsible for?
Right. Right. You know, it's interesting you said that, Ron. I've thought of that too, like which wound or what have I done to contribute? Because, you know, he was beaten beyond recognition, you know, and so it was... It's when you see all those wounds, and I've seen those images. I'm sure you've seen them too, Ron, the images of the depiction of Jesus, you know, and being just with the lashes and the blood and just the how swollen he was and how, I mean, it was a brutal, brutal beating. And they definitely knew how to give or to let the person have the most pain possible before killing them. And, you know, they perfected the crucifixion, the Romans did. And I'll tell you, it's really sick when you watch it. And like the Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's, the movie, it is the first time I ever saw it. I couldn't even breathe. It hurt so bad to watch that. And that was in, you know, that's a Hollywood, version of it, but it seemed so accurate in so many ways. But I will tell you, Ron, that meditating on the Holy Face or meditating on the crucifix or meditating on, you know, the wounds of Christ or, you know, the sorrows, the suffering, It is so incredibly transformative in so many ways if we allow it to penetrate us. If we have a bit of self-hatred, if we have a bit of doubt, it's going to cloud it. And I think it goes back to what Matthew was saying, but I think it does it for all of us because this world is so broken and there's so many demons out there trying to get us to walk away from God and to hate ourselves and to fall into despair. So we've got that going against us. However, Ron, we have our guardian angels beside us that are really our soul guards and our bodyguards, and they're incredible. Because when we are weak, they are stronger and they're praying harder for us. And so we've got them on our side and individually for each and every one of us. So that should also make us feel very comforted. Ron, you said so many wonderful things. I thank you so very much for adding to this conversation. God bless you. Jerry's going to be on a little later, so I hope you stay tuned in so you'll hear his voice as well. Thank you, Ron. I have to move to Dottie, though, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Alexa. Hi, Dottie. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. Your question really touched my heart, and what popped into mind, if Jesus were right here in front of me, and I feel like he is, I'd have to gasp and say, how am I doing?
Mm.
You know, I'd really like to know, because sometimes I think I'm doing okay. I'm an old lady now, and it's easier not to get in trouble as an old lady than it was as a younger person. Mm-hmm. But then other times I think, you know, sometimes I think I'm doing okay, but really maybe I'm not. So mm-hmm. I'd ask him, how am I doing? And what prompted that question was years ago when I married someone who, my grandmother was an Italian immigrant with a thick accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I married someone from a WASP family, and they were rather well known. And she came up to me at the rehearsal, and she said to me, how am I doing? You know, how am I doing? So I think that's what I'd ask Jesus, how am I doing?
My
grandmother was, I think you're the best grandmother in the whole world. I don't know what Jesus would say. He sure wouldn't say I'm the best in the whole world.
But you know what I loved about what you just shared, Dottie? I love how you just said, how am I doing? You know what that sounded like to me? That sounded like to me of an innocence of a child asking, like you were just saying, you know, with an older, like a grandmother or something. It's so pure. And you just have to imagine that Jesus loves that. He loves that genuine sense when you're just going to be real and authentic and really share. I think that is so beautiful and such a, I mean, I think I have to say this, Dottie, not a capital S canonized saint, but I think that's a small S saintly type of question to ask. I really do. I think it's beautiful.
They say when you get old, you get back to childhood, so thank you.
Me too. I'm telling you, I act 12. It's bad, Dottie. I need help.
But you know, picturing him right here in mm-hmm. front of me, and I'm a very visual person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? Give him a big hug.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I agree. Dottie, I have to tell you, my husband asked me this morning, he said, are you ready for the show? I said, yeah. He said, you know, he said, what would you ask Jesus? And I said, well, I would ask him, you know, why did he make it so hard to be a woman? But then he said, but then I started laughing, and he goes, what are you laughing about? I said, well, actually, I said, if I ever, you know, get to heaven, you know, God willing, and you know, you rush into Jesus' arms, I thought the same thing, Dottie. I'd give him a hug, and then I'd go, man, that was brutal down there.
Whatever did you have in mind?
That's exactly what I would say. I'd say, that was brutal. I don't want to go back. No, thank you.
So, thank you for taking the call. I know you've always got a million people waiting. So thank you.
Thank you, Dottie. You're just a delight to talk to. Thank you so much. And God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay, we're going to get to Kathy Jo and Christine and the others. When we come back, you hear the music. There's room for you. So Ron, Frieda, Lines, and Dottie did as well. So why don't you answer the question? If you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? We really want to talk about it. So call in 833-288-8255. 3986. We'll be right back.
It's good to be with you here, Jerry. I'm sure settling in here following Mass at the seminary, and we are talking today about if you could ask Jesus something, what would it be? We got a lot of other calls that we are going to get to, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani, and we are going to get, like I say, back to your phone calls here momentarily. It's been a good conversation so far, so Deb, you were saying right before we came back on.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. So Matthew called in and Ron and Dottie answering the questions, and it was just wonderful. We had a great discussion, and we're going to continue with the callers. But just I want to remind everybody that we're halfway done with this live broadcast. So if you want to answer this question for today, it's if you could ask Jesus one question or you could say something to Jesus, what would it be? We'd love to hear from you at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And Jerry, we're going to go to Kathy Jo next.
Okay, let's do that. Kathy Jo is in Iowa listening on Siouxland Catholic Radio. Hi, Kathy Jo. Welcome.
Well, hi. I'm excited to be on the call. I love St. Gertrude the Great. And she has a prayer that if you say the prayer, you release 1,000 holy souls from purgatory. Well, I've said that prayer enough that I've tallied it, 34 million holy souls. Wow. And my question to Jesus is, did I release those and are they in heaven?
Okay. Well, you know what, Kathy Jo, you have done a great, very, very holy and charitable thing. We want to pray for the holy souls in purgatory. They are, absolutely saved, but sometimes we need a little bit of cleaning up before we get into the beatific vision to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit and all of the other saints. And that is a very beautiful question. And you know what, you're going to have a lot of wonderful friends interceding for you in heaven because you have done that. So I say kudos to you.
Yeah, and I love that you want to, you know, it's interesting, Kathy Jo, it reminds me of what we talk about with Catholic radio. When Jerry and I used to go around together and do a lot of pledge drives around the country, remember this, Jerry? We used to say to people, you know, if you give now, you know, hopefully when you get to heaven, God willing, God will let you see all the people you impacted by your generous donations, right? And it's that similar generous heart of you praying for those souls, right? I can just imagine if you, our God, wouldn't you say, Jerry, he's that type of God that he is going to let us see all the beauty, all the greatness that was done through prayer and through generous hearts, Kathy Jo. I have to believe that just from everything I've studied about our God and trying to get close to him. I just feel it in my heart that he will let us see in very, you know, sharp detail, even not just in a blanket effect, like, hey, you did a good job. I think we're going to see it at a level that is going to be so magnificent and huge and transform us even more so on the other side of the veil as we continue to learn more about our God. Kathy Jo, I love your heart. I think it's beautiful. Any comments?
Here. When I got to 5 million, because I tracked it every day, and when I got to 5 million, I said, God, I don't need all these people praying for me. So I started to give them to different other families or other things. So, you know, I have a whole list of the like, some people have 200,000 holy souls praying for them. And when I talked to them and they're suffering and that, I said, just call on those 200,000 holy souls to pray for you because they're praying for you now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there's strength in numbers, and it's interesting that you brought this up, Kathy Jo, because, like I said, I just came from Mass to join the program, and I offered my Mass intention this morning for the souls in purgatory specifically. I pray for them. I offer every prayer, every Mass, Rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet, and so forth for the holy souls, but in particular, I offered my Mass for them this morning. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of heavenly high fives taking place.
I agree.
Good Lord willing, when we get to heaven, and, you know, because those souls that our prayers have helped to expedite their entry into the beatific vision, they become saints. They pray for us. So I think it's a beautiful. This is the family. We're the family of God. This is how a family operates. All the siblings help one another, and God allows us to do that. He allows us to be participants in His salvific work. I think it's absolutely beautiful.
Me too, Kathy Jo.
Great phone call. Great. I love it. And you know, send some of those. Holy souls prayers our way.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kathy Jo. God bless.
Thank you so much, Kathy Jo. Yeah, we are prayer beggars for sure, and we're proud of it.
That's right.
That's right. Okay, Christine is up next in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Hi, Christine. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing great.
Doing
thank
well.
You so much. You go right ahead. What question would you ask Jesus?
Well, first of all, I think I would like to thank him for my life and for all the blessings he's bestowed upon me and my family. If I had a question for Jesus, again, I don't know exactly how I would phrase it for him, but I've struggled a lot in my life. A lot of suffering has happened throughout my life. And as a parent, a mother, my question revolves more so around my children, and they're both about, well, one is a teenager, the other one's almost a teenager. The older one, I know, has struggled so much with finding the right fit for schooling, for education. She's probably in a good place right now, I'd say, but in the past, like, we've done Catholic school, we've done like a school for autism, we've done public. And through all of it, she fits most comfortably in public, which was a little bittersweet for me, but I've adapted. You know, we're churchgoers. We pray as a family. We do everything we can. And, well, maybe not everything we can, but we try,
right,
you know, to live, to walk the walk. And, my question for Jesus, I think, is sensitive. It's a sensitive topic because it's more or less, why so much confusion at this point in history for the young people regarding identity?
Yeah.
Why so much? It's so heavy. It's such a heavy cross.
Yeah, well, Christine, that's certainly one that, you know, Debbie and I, and we don't have an answer to that. Obviously, Jesus would be the only one who would have an answer to that. And I would suggest that you actually ask him, you know, go into deep into prayer, really, and just ask the Lord to kind of explain this, to sort of sort it all out for you in your prayer, and just listen, you know, be attentive, listen with your heart, and let him speak to you about that, because you're right. We live in an age that is so, it's really brutal on young people in so many ways that I haven't seen in my lifetime. I'm a few years ahead of Debbie, but, you know, and I can say probably in each of our lifetimes, you know, this is something new, something that they're facing, challenges and trials and difficulties that, you know, are really unprecedented, it seems like. And so I would just suggest, really, and maybe talk to, you know, other holy people that you know, a priest perhaps, and, you know, just raise this with the Lord. He will give you an answer. You know, to today's Mass, the gospel reading, you know, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you, to the blind man? And so we need to say to Jesus, here's what I want you to do for me, you know, and Jesus, please help me to understand this, but also, you know, just really help and provide all the assistance that my children need to navigate the waters of today's life.
I think that was so beautifully said. Go ahead, Christine.
I just wanted to say how you summed it up there at the end. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you
for taking my call.
Absolutely. You call us anytime, okay? And I put you and your whole family in the prayer book, okay?
I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Christine. Yeah, a lot of prayers for you and the family. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. It is your radio program here each and every day. We encourage you to participate. If you could ask Jesus a question, what would it be? If you could say something, if Jesus was right there with you, if you had something you would like to share from your heart with him, or maybe throughout your life there have been questions you have asked Jesus, share those with us as well. And what you've asked him in prayer, what he has done for you by way of answering those prayers, 833-288-EWTN. Again, 833-288-3986.
Okay, and we'll get to Tom in Chicago, Illinois on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Tom. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Good afternoon, you prayer warriors. How are you today?
Doing all right, Tom. How about you?
Just driving past O'Hare Airport. The question I would ask Jesus, I'll make this fast, because people that really gave everything they had were living righteously, and the world, the flesh, the devil, anything, finally just crushes them to the point that they throw in the towel. I mean, they don't become unrepentant, hedonistic reprobates or anything like that, but they just give up. They're so disillusioned, disappointed, despair. Now, I would ask you, okay, what are you going to do with these people on Judgment Day? If they, especially if they don't make a good, solid confession in the last moments of their life. Are you going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, you know, give them the checkered flag? Or are you going to tell them, you didn't persevere, you didn't hang in there, get out of my sight, you that worketh iniquity. I never knew you. Tough question, but I'll shut up and listen, okay?
Well.
I could take a whole show, Tom, but okay, we'll try. Yeah. You want to go first, Jerry? Because I have some thoughts on it, too.
Well, Tom, you actually shared, you know, some of the potential answers to that. You know, Jesus does talk about, you know, the possibility of falling away, you know. Those who say, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. And it talks about many of those who we ate and drank with him. I do not know you. And then I'm just reminded of, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, around the end of the chapter. You know, Paul talks about, I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So the Bible is very clear on the fact that, you know, we need to maintain our faith, our devotion, our love for the Lord. We need to feed that through, obviously, through prayer, receiving the sacraments, you know, through charitable works and all of that. So I think, you know, the answer to that question is one only the Lord can give. But I think we have some hints from Scripture. Debbie, go ahead.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you referenced Scripture. This is just my own personal thought on this, Tom, my own opinion on this, just having been falling in love with the messages of Saint Faustina and Divine Mercy. I just after reading that diary, okay, that's almost 1,000 pages. I mean, it's amazing, and the entries in this diary, and really praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and being a devotee of Divine Mercy. I've come to realize, this is for me now, Tom, that I just, it's like my own personal, you know, epiphany or revelation in some aspect, that God gives ample time, multiple chances of mercy throughout the person's entire life so that they don't fall into that despair. Because the demon's way is temptation, right? And they want us to fall into despair. They want us to move away from God. And I just believe that God has such an abundance of mercy at all the key times of that person's life on this side of the veil and after they pass, that God's mercy is abundant. And I just feel that our Lord is, in my humble opinion, is going to take everything into account. Everything that person went through, had gone through, their mental makeup, their composition, the way they, you know, and really see it from a heart perspective and a merciful perspective. But I just want to also add, he's a God of justice. So ultimately, that's got to prevail. It has to, because it, and so I think that we're going to, I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe in the end, we're going to see so much more of an understanding of this kind of mercy, bigger than we could ever comprehend here or imagine. And I just think it's so incredible what the great lengths that our God will do for us up until the last second. So what do you think, Tom? Do you have any thoughts like that? Because am I the only one thinking that way? And I'd love to hear what Jerry has to say. What do you say, Tom?
Well, the one thing I never heard in all the Protestant denominations I belong to in the past, you've never heard the word mercy. Almost 30 years being a Catholic, that's the only time I've heard the word mercy. And what the final thing that got me into the church was speaking with the late Joseph Cardinal Bernardine at a Theology on Tap picnic at his home back in the 90s on North Avenue and Lakeshore Drive. Sorry, I'm falling apart, guys. But
no, I know.
That's fine, Tom. I've
never met a more righteous, holy, and yet loving, compassionate human being in my life. And I thought right then and there, if this is what being a Catholic is all about, then I'm getting in, period. Hoorah!
Yeah.
Well, Tom, you know, I had a professor in college. He said, I went to Franciscan University in Steubenville, majored in theology. He said, if all you put on your final exam is God's greatest attribute is mercy, he would not fail us. We would not get, if that was all we put on the exam, he said, because it proves you know something, the most important thing about God, and it is his mercy. And, you know, we were quoting scripture passages and talking about the possibility of falling away and this and that. We need not fear anything like that. Debbie was saying, you know, the means are there for us to remain not only faithful, but to grow in our relationship and love with God and to become holy. This is why we celebrate the saints, you know,
absolutely.
Because they have raised, and they would be the first to tell us, Debbie and Tom, that, you know, they have received God's mercy. It's by God's mercy that we become holy and become saints. So, Tom, you found your home in the Catholic Church, and you hopefully, you know, you see how merciful God has been to you, because he certainly has been.
Absolutely. Abundant blessings to you, Tom. I put you in the prayer book, and you know, your call today probably helped thousands of souls, because it's very easy to lose hope and fall into despair and walk away. We just have to keep, Jerry, you talk about it all the time, like the baby steps, right? What, you know, just keep moving forward and really, really lean on God's mercy. And I'll tell yeah, you're right, Jerry. When you focus on his mercy, there's no fear.
No. Thanks, Tom. We got some
Thank
other callers
you,
we want to get to here, but you are a great contributor to our conversation today. We appreciate that. Mary in Wisconsin, we're going to get to you right after I mention the program that comes up next here on most of these EWTN stations. The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. You can't beat his wit, his humor, and also his expertise in all things family, especially child raising. He and his wife adopted 10 children and have raised them. So he knows a little bit about what he talks about. So the Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi up next on most of these EWTN stations.
Okay, we're going to get to Mary in Superior, Wisconsin on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Mary. Thank you so much. You got our Patience Award today. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, so my story is that I actually had the opportunity to ask Jesus anything I wanted one time in my life.
Okay.
It was a long time ago, 25 years ago. My daughter was about 6 or 7 years old at the time. And I had been a faithful Catholic, and then my husband left me when I was 37, and I had 4 daughters that were 2 years apart each. Anyways, my youngest at that time was, like I said, 6 or 7. And I had started to date a guy who I got fixed up with on my birthday. Someone set me up. And I didn't resist that, but he was a fundamentalist, and he gave me very good, you know, apologetics for his faith, and I was starting to waver and not feel like he needed to be Catholic or anything like that. Anyway, I was over it, but I still, every night I would walk across the street to my mother's and father's house and we'd pray the family rosary. And I was over there praying the family rosary. It was right around Christmas time, maybe right before Christmas. And my daughter told me to pick up an ornament, the one on the floor. It was like, it was had a million cracks in it, you know, and mm-hmm. a couple of big gashes. And she said, Mom, let's go home. We have to go home now. And I go, oh, I want to talk to Mom. And she goes, no, let's go home and go to your room. So we went up, and she used to sit on my bed and talk to me sometimes. And she said, Mom, I can talk to Jesus and tell you anything. He told me to tell you this ball is like his heart, and the small gashes in it, the little cracks, are when you do little sins, but the great big gashes are when you do great big sins. And, you know, that. And then he says, now you can ask me anything you want. And I asked her every normal question that a person would, you know, and a lot of them were about, you know, does it matter which faith you're in? Can anybody, not just Catholics, go to heaven? And all these different questions. But I was, you know, somewhat not convinced, you know, until I had lost my wallet 3 days before, and it was over a long Christmas weekend. So stores weren't open, you know, my work wasn't open. I couldn't try to retrace my steps, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering where it was. So the very last question I asked Jesus was, where's my wallet? And he said, ask St. Anthony. And mm-hmm. I said, okay. You know, anyways, I kind of forgot about it, although I thought it was a fascinating encounter, until I was at work on Monday morning, and I was at a different work site because of closures due to the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I remembered I was supposed to ask St. Anthony, and I hummed the hymn of the, you know, the tune to the St. Anthony prayer. And at the very end of it, immediately the phone rang, and they had routed a call from my previous work, the parking lot. Someone had found my wallet.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's the end of my story.
What a beautiful story. And to hear the faith of this daughter of yours, probably, I bet all of your daughters had that kind of faith, but what this one was, I think you said 6 or 7 at the time, and had this amazing relationship with Jesus to kind of encourage you as her mother, you know, to go before the Lord and ask him anything that you wanted. And St. Anthony has never ever let me down. He's found some pretty amazing things.
Love St. Anthony.
Yeah, and you too as well, Deb. Yeah.
And I just want to say, I love how comforting God is when we need him most, Mary. And you know, you were talking about your husband leaving the marriage, and how I'm sure that was devastating to you and the girls. And God comforts when we need it most. And so you were, I believe, gifted that encounter, which is so incredible. And I'm sure it has strengthened your faith and your spiritual life. And we just thank you for sharing your story with us, but sharing it in such a beautiful detail, because it shows your heart and your love for the Lord, Mary. So thank you so much. I agree with Jerry. I put you and your whole family in the prayer book, Mary, but I know we're just going to try to squeeze in Alina, because Alina's in Miami, Florida. We can squeeze in one more call on Sirius XM 130. Alina, welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yes, afternoon.
I'm calling from Coral Gables, Florida. I listened to you on Sirius FM. And no, I would, in my last confession, I was thinking that I would ask Jesus, who do you say I am? Like he mm-hmm. asked his disciples. Mm-hmm. As just to know, am I in the, you know, of course I'm a practicing Catholic. I think I'm a good person and doing all the right things. But just to have that, like a child asked the parent, are you pleased with me? Mm-hmm. And what would he say?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my mind goes to the baptism of Jesus, you know, where the voice from heaven comes and says, you know, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And I believe God says that to each and every one of us, beloved son, or in your case, beloved daughter, Alina, in whom he is very well pleased. And I love how you've turned this around, because I like to give talks. And when I've given reflections upon this scripture verse, you know, in Matthew 16, where Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? He wants to know if they understand whether he's the Messiah or not. I say we do need to turn that around, Debbie, and say, Jesus, who do you say that I am? Because the world is telling us one thing about our identity. Mm-hmm. We need to find that identity in Christ, and we need to ask Jesus, Lord, who am I? Who do you say that I am? Alina is onto something here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Matthew was sharing the same thing on our first caller, and throughout this whole episode, we've had quite a few have weighed in on that as well. Alina, I love that. I think I agree with Jerry. It shows your heart. It shows that you care so much about your relationship with God, and it's beautiful. And I just view it as, you know, I just think of him saying to each and every one of us, you're my children, you know, and saying it as a parent with that full love in their heart. That's, I just feel like that's the kind of embrace we as faithful Christians are going to hear. I just feel it, Jerry, because he's such an incredible God, and we know that. He suffered and died for each and every one of us. Alina, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Jerry, tomorrow we have a pretty heavy topic. Have you tried without success to have children?
That's right. That's going to be tomorrow. I'll be praying about that, thinking about that. And we will be with you for that topic. Thanks to Matt, Michael, and Rich, the show team. Thanksgiving break is coming up. You may have heard I'm taking a little pilgrimage to some holy places in Canada, including the Oratory of St. Joseph. If you have prayer intentions you'd like me to take along with me, you can email me at seminaryjerry@gmail.com. Again, that's seminaryjerry@gmail.com. Again, tomorrow, have you tried without success to have children? That is our topic. Until then, Debbie and I and the entire show team and everybody at EWTN want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you soon.